The Comte met them on the staircase of the chateau, and when Santerne hastily explained their needs, he joined enthusiastically in transforming the Grand Salon into a hospital ward. They pushed the furniture against the walls to clear the centre of the floor, and then stripped the mattresses from the upstairs bedrooms and bundled them down the stairs. Assisted by the ambulance driver and three medical orderlies the young doctor had recruited, they laid the mattresses out on the fine woollen or bussin carpet. In the meantime, the military police, under instructions from the doctor, were signalling the ambulances out of the stalled traffic on the main road and directing them up the lane to the chateau. The doctor rode on the running board of the leading vehicle, and when he saw Santerne, he jumped down and seized her arm urgently. "Mademoiselle, is there another way to reach the field hospital at Mortain? I need supplies, chloroform, disinfectant, bandages, and another doctor to help me." His French was passable, but Santerne answered him in English. "I can ride across the fields." "You're a champion. I'll give you a note." He pulled the pad from his top pocket and scribbled a short message. "Ask for Major Sinclair." He tore out the sheet of paper and folded it. "The advance hospital is in the cottages."
"Yes, I know it. Who are you? Who must I tell them sent me?"
With recent practice, the English words came more readily to Santerne's lips. "Forgive me, mademoiselle, I haven't had a chance to introduce myself before. My name is Clark, Captain Robert Clark, but they call me Bobby." Nuage seemed to sense from her the urgency of their mission, and he flew furiously at the jumps and threw clods of mud from his hooves as he raced across the fields and down the rows of vineyards. The streets of the village were jammed with men and vehicles, and the advance hospital in the row of cottages was chaotic. The officer she had been sent to find was a big man with arms like a bear and thick graying curls that flopped forward on his forehead as he leaned over the soldier on whom he was operating. "Where the hell is Bobby?" he demanded, without looking up at Santerne, concentrating on the neat stitches he was putting into the deep gash across the soldier's back. As he pulled the thread tight and knotted it, the flesh rose in a peak, and Santerne's gorge rose with it, but she explained quickly. "All right, tell Bobby I'll send what I can, but we are running short of dressings ourselves." They lifted his patient off the table, and in his place laid a boy with his entrails hanging out of him in an untidy bunch. "I can't spare anybody to help him either. Off you go and tell him." The young soldier writhed and shrieked as the doctor began to stuff his stomach back into him.
"If you give me the supplies, I will carry them back with me."
Santerne stood her ground, and he glanced up at her and gave her the ghost of a smile. "You don't give up easily," he grudged. "All right, speak to him." He pointed across the crowded room of the cottage, with the scalpel in his right hand. "Tell him I sent you, and good luck, young lady."
"To you also, doctor."
"God knows we all need it," he agreed, and stooped once more to his work. Santerne pressed Nuage as hard as before on the ride back, and left him in his stall. As she entered the courtyard, she saw that there were three more ambulances parked in the yard, the drivers unloading their cargoes of wounded and dying men. She hurried past them into the house, carrying a heavy kit bag over her shoulder, and paused at the door of the salon in amazement. All the mattresses were full, and other wounded men were lying on the bare floor or propped against the panelled walls. Bobby Clark had lit every branch of the silver candelabra in the centre of the massive ormolu dinner table, and was operating by candlelight. He looked up and saw Santerne. "Did you bring the chloroform?" he called across to her. For a moment she could not reply, and she hesitated at the tall double doors, for the salon already stank. The cloying odour of blood, mingled with the reek of the bodies and clothing of men who had come from the mud of the trenches, mud in which the dead had been buried and had decomposed to the same soupy consistency, men with the acrid sweat of fear and pain still upon them. "Did you get it?" he repeated impatiently, and she forced herself to go forward.
"They do not have anyone to help you."
You'll have to do it. Here, stand on this side for me, he ordered. Now hold this.